The Value of a Vow. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. What is the value of a vow? We all go around making vows, promises, all sorts of things. Oh, promise me that someday you'll be mine. And we sing these songs, and we tell these words, and we say, oh, golly, I dedicate my life to my work. I dedicate my life to my church. I dedicate my life to my family. I dedicate my life to my spouse. Oh, we make vows. We make so many vows, and are we aware of just what these vows are? Are we aware that all of these vows are unkept promises that follow us all of our life? They are like putting, they're like putting control on us by the things that we have agreed to do and are not able to do. You tell your child you're going to take them to the park and you don't do it. You tell your wife that you're going to be home on time for dinner and you don't do it. You tell your boss that you're going to get a job done at a specific time and you don't do it. Every one of these things in themselves are not any major catastrophe, but they are a major catastrophe as they add one upon the other, as they pile up in such a way that we feel that we are burdened by them. We feel that we never can get the jobs done, our boss asks. We feel we can never be home in time for supper. There's always something that's going to keep us from getting at home on the time that we have agreed. And there's always something that's going to keep us from doing things that we promised for our child, because those things aren't that important, you know, because the really important things are to the boss or to our wife or something, or to our husband. Really? Actually, none of those things in themselves are important at all. And they should never have been made. How do you go through life without making vows? Well, you go through life being yourself and having fun. You go through life doing things that look like they are interesting and fantastic. For instance, telling your wife you're going to be home in time for supper. You plan 24 hours of the day to be home in time for supper. 24 hours of the day. Wow, that's pretty husky. Yes, it is. Now, if you are looking forward to being home for supper, if you are looking forward to having your mother or your father come visit the family and they're going to be there for dinner and you want to be them, or if you know that your boss is going to be at your home for dinner and that he's coming in his car and you're coming in yours and he is going to be there certainly on time, will you be on time? Ho-ho! You'll be on time so easily it will just startle you to pieces. It just startle you to pieces. Now, your son says, Dad, can you come to school tonight? The teacher's parent night, and they want to show you the work that we've done. And the father says, yeah, I'll try. And then the son comes to the father and says, Dad, you are chosen as the father of the year. And tonight they're going to give out the awards. And you are going to receive the Father of the Year award. And they're going to give out the award right after the beginning of the ceremony, which starts right at 7 o'clock. I think that's wonderful. Do you think that Dad is going to be there? Oh my, yes. Something that is for him personally. Something that touches his life. That's something that makes him feel good. Makes him feel wanted, makes him feel needed, makes him feel that he's important. Now, why is it that coming home on time, when we tell our spouse that we'll be there on time for supper, why is it that that seems to be one of the minor importance ideas in our life? And truly it is. We can make it a habit where we always get home exactly at 2 minutes before 6, and supper is at 6, and we prepare ourselves and we come in, and we are so habit, we are able to do it. Well, now, habit is not a blessing in this regard. Our desire to be on time at supper is a respect for our wife who has made the meal. It's a respect for the rest of the family who expect to eat at a given time, because then they can all plan on it. It's a respect to ourselves that we want to be part of this family circle, and we want to be part of it at the times that we have chosen, and more. If we were, of course, one time is all you could do it, but if we were to be told, hey, Dad, tonight the whole family is going to give you a special award as the father of the century because you're so fantastic, and we're going to give it to you just at 6 at the beginning of our supper. Dad, isn't that wonderful? And Dad thinks, my goodness sakes, what's this all about? What's this all about? And all afternoon, he's thinking, well, let's see, 6 o'clock here. So I want to be there in plenty of time. I'd like to wash up a hill before dinner, too. And I'd like to, you know, not be in a rush. I don't want anything to delay me. I want to be there. I want to be there. I want to be there. He is there. He hasn't made a vow to the family he'd be there. They haven't even asked for a vow. He has made a vow to himself that he'll be there. He hasn't even asked for a vow. He has made a pleasure, an anticipation to be there. And he is there. When we make vows, these are things that we make theoretically to other people, but we don't. Every vow we make to another person is first to ourselves. I promise you I'll be there. Oh, that's a terrible thing to do. I'll be there. That's almost as bad, but dinner's at 6? Good. Presumptive, everyone will be there. No problem. Dinner's at 6? We're there. But when you make a promise, I'll be there, then you're stuck with it. You're stuck with it. And if you are not there, and you even call in and say, hey, sweetheart, I had a flat tire on the way, and so I won't make it. And, you know, that flat tire was caused by your own thinking, because you are not one who keeps your promises and keeps your vows. That flat tire is something that you brought upon. You haven't had a flat tire in centuries. And now, when you make this promise, you have some excuse for not being there. Now, you really don't want to be there, because if you wanted to be there, you would have a flat tire, you would take out your cellular phone, you would call a cab, and you'd get in the cab and go on home and be home in time, and then after dinner, after all is said and done, you would ask your neighbor to give you a lift back to your car or take the cab back to your car and get the tire fixed and drive home. Nothing can keep you from whatever you choose to do because you have chosen to do it yourself. If you are fulfilling the promises, the agreements, the vows that you make to others, those are like non-sacred cows. They are things that are not something that has to be done. Any excuse will get you out of it, and it's okay. But when you do things to yourself, oh, I am so proud of my son. I love to go and see what he does in school. I love to be part of the parent-teachers program. I like to see what he's doing. I am so proud of him. And, you know, my daughter, she made Citizen of the Month award. For her whole class of 30 kids, she was chosen Citizen of the Month because she had done the most beautiful things in the past month that showed that she liked herself and she liked everybody else. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. You would be there. My gracious sakes, you'd be there. And you know when your boss says, can you do this? You say to your boss, well now, let me just give it a thought. I don't want to just offhand say yes and not perform. So let me get back to you. And so you consider whether you can, do you have the ability, do you have the materials that are needed, are you able to contact the people that are necessary to help perform this task that you accepted. And when you've got all the details together, it takes maybe 5 minutes, you call your boss and you say, "Boss, no problem, I've figured out all the details and it'll be done." He says, "Good. I know I can always count on you, Herb. No matter what I ask you to do, I can always count on you. You don't just flip off the top and say yes. You think about it, and you make sure that your yes is a yes that's fulfilled. I am proud of you." Yeah, we're proud of ourselves, too. We don't make vows that we don't intend to keep. We don't make vows at all. We just say, "Hey, you asked me to do it? I'll do it. You asked me to do it? Nope. It doesn't fit in my plan. It doesn't fit in with my ability. It doesn't fit in with the talents that I have to accomplish it for you." Now, if you say, "Have it done however it must be done," then I'll go to my secretary and I'll say, "Sweetheart, the boss wants this done. What do you think we can do about that?" And she'll say, "Oh, I've done that often before. I'll have that back to you in about 20 minutes. And you say, "Wow." And you go to your office, and she comes in 20 minutes, it's all done. You take it in the boss, and you give it to him, and he says, "Boy, Herb, I can always depend on you." And you say, "Well, my secretary did a big part of this." And he says, "I don't care how you did it. I asked you to do it, and you did it. That's the important thing." You see, with unkept vows, they are like a poison in our system, and they keep eating away at our stomach and at our heart. They keep eating away at all of our beingness, and we feel very, very ungood. We feel very guilty of everything that's bad. We feel just a negativeness inside of ourselves. And, hey, that's not what we want to do. That's not what is important in life. That's not where we are. And today is a good time for us to start realizing that we don't make vows. We agree to do things. "Oh, I'll do that for you." And we don't say, "I will do that for you." "Well, of course I'll do that for you. It's the same as I will do it, isn't it?" It seems as though we're making vows all the time and probably not even realizing it. And because we make vows all the time and don't even realize it, how many vows do we make that we don't even realize, and do we not fulfill that we don't even realize? But inside of us, there is a counter, and it counts up all those vows that we make and don't fulfill. And it makes us feel either good or bad. It makes us feel either right or wrong, but it destroys our life if we make vows that we don't fulfill. And when we make vows that we do fulfill, oh, our life is so rewarding, so fulfilling, so grand and glorious, that it can compare to nothing. The value of a vow. Have you ever thought about that? Be careful. Because if you promise something and don't do it, you are making a little ugliness in your tummy. And a lot of little uglinesses in your tummy create big problems that you don't want. So be true to yourself and be careful in making these promises to others and in making these promises to yourself. Because yourself expects you to fulfill them, even though you may make excuses for not doing it. It's a challenge, isn't it? But it's one that we can learn about. "Hey, Dad, you're getting an award at school tonight. Can you come?" "Oh, sure, I'll be there," you know. Wild horses couldn't keep them away. It all depends, doesn't it? Think about these things and just have a lovely day and know that I love you, I love you, I love you.